Shmaryahu Levin was a great early Zionist leader. And once, when he was traveling in the United States raising money for the Zionist cause, he was in Chicago, and a wealthy businessman said, "Mr. Levin, I want you to know what a Zionist I am." He said, "I build buildings all over Chicago, and I just built a huge building in downtown Chicago, and I built a huge sign above it so everyone would know that the building is called Israel." And Levin said, "That's nice, but actually I'd like it better if you built a building in Tel Aviv and called it Chicago." Because while names aren't everything, they are something. And they do matter. And anybody who's ever, for example, agonized over the name of a child knows that it matters what a name is. And so it is worth asking ourselves, why are we called what we're called? Why aren't we called Abraham? Or Isaac? Or Joseph? Or Moses? Why, of all the people that we could be named after, are we named after Yaakov, whose name is changed to Israel? You would think that the strongest claimants would be Abraham, who after all started all of this, or Moses, who was the greatest representative of the Jewish people. But no. We are called Israel, after Yaakov, who doesn't even keep the name Israel all the time. Sometimes he's referred to as Israel, and sometimes as Yaakov. And so I want to explore this morning with you why we are B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel. And I think that at least in part it has to do with the fact that Yaakov is the one character about whom we know that nothing in his life goes smoothly. We know, first of all, about his challenges of family. Every member of his family he's got problems with. He grows up in the home of a father who explicitly does not favor him. His father likes the other kid and makes no secret of it. And equally problematic, he grows up in the home of a mother who does favor him over the other kid. So that from both sides, there's a problem and a conflict. It is difficult to be the favored son. It's difficult to be the unfavored son. Clearly, he has problems with his brother. This is signaled by the fact that his brother threatens to kill him, which I grant you happens among most brothers, but Esau really means it. He's going to kill him. And at the instigation of their own mother, he cheats Esau. Just imagine what this does to a family. Think about a business where a mother pulls a son aside and says, "By the way, tomorrow I want you to cheat your brother out of the business. Just do it for me." So he's got problems with his parents, he's got problems with his brother, he surely has problems with his wives. As my friend Joseph Telushkin is fond of saying, it's true that there's polygamy in the Bible, but it never works. And he reproduces, you'll notice, in his own family, first with his wives and then with his children, the same thing he suffered it from. That is, he loves one wife more than another, just as he was loved and Esau was loved by different parents. And then when he has children, he has just as many problems with his children as he had himself as a child. That is to say, some of the brothers want to kill the other one, the story of Joseph. And why do they want to kill the other one? Because he favors him. In other words, he learned but didn't learn. He felt the pain and then reproduced the pain that he had felt. So first of all, one thing we know about Jacob is that he has troubled family life, which is another way of saying he is a realistic character. Families aren't perfect things. Brothers and sisters do fight. Parents do make mistakes in the way they raise their children. Children do resent the way their parents raise them. And then children do go on and make mistakes with their own children, and so on and so on. But Jacob doesn't only have challenges with his family. He has challenges with his business. He leaves his home with nothing. He is dirt poor, and he is lucky enough to find some relatives who take him in. Now, once again, just imagine this. How successful is it usually when relatives take a poor relative into the business? Sometimes it works, especially when they marry in, as Jacob did. But when it's run by Laban, who we already know to be a somewhat shady character, there are going to be problems, and there are. Jacob starts out working for nothing, and then when he works for a salary, not only does he get duped by Laban about whom he's going to marry, but he cheats him on his wages. So Jacob has the challenges of poverty, and then when he leaves Laban, he has the challenges of wealth. By the time he's ready to meet Esau, Jacob is a wealthy man. And everyone knows that ethically and morally, not in terms of comfort, but ethically and morally, it is as hard to be morally rich as it is to be morally poor, maybe even harder. So what does Jacob do with his wealth? He turns around and he says, I can afford anything. May as well buy my favorite son a many-colored coat. What could it hurt? So that he doesn't use his wealth well in training his children. And then, of course, Jacob has challenges with God. He leaves his home. And he lays down at night, and he has this dream of angels ascending and descending the ladder, and then he says one of the most surprising and, in a way, embarrassing things that any of the patriarchs say. Achein yesh Adonai b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. God's here and I didn't know it. Now, can you just imagine Abraham going to a city and saying, God is here and I didn't realize it? How does Jacob not know that God is there? But the point is, Jacob hasn't always felt God, hasn't always realized that God is present. It comes as something of a surprise to him that God is there. And what does he want to do? He wants to extract the goods from it. He starts to tell God, if you take care of me, and if you watch over me, and if you make sure that I'm prosperous, then I'll follow you. And finally, and unexpectedly, Jacob struggles with himself. You think that he's somebody who just causes chaos around him, but it's not true. Inside of himself, he struggles. Remember what happens when the angel wrestles with Jacob. The Torah says explicitly, "Vayivater Yaakov levado." Jacob was left alone. "Vayayavek ishimo adalot hashachar," and a man struggled with him until the dawn came. So if he's alone and someone's struggling with him, it is a plausible reading that not only does Jacob struggle with his parents and his siblings and his children and his wives and his business partners, but also with God. So why Jacob? Why Jacob? Because, you see, none of these stories end in struggle. None of them end in struggle. Jacob, in the end, reconciles with his brother, makes peace with his legacy, comes to spend time with all of his children, and his children bear him back to the land that he loved and was promised. And finally, clearly, comes to understand God's design for his life. So the first reason that I would say we are B'nai Yisrael is that we actually really do believe in struggle. that when things aren't easy, that's no surprise to us. That on an individual and also on a communal level, we have struggled since the beginning of time, and that will not end. But that everything that Jacob struggles for is worth struggling for. The legacy of his parents, the love of his brother, the creation of his family, the settling of the land. It all matters. It's not trivial. And then there is another reason, I believe, why we are B'nai Yisrael. Because Jacob doesn't only dream, although Jacob does dream. But there is this wonderful little nuance, this thing that you might miss at the very beginning of Jacob's story, which is that he puts a rock under his head and he lays down on that rock and he dreams of the ladder with the angels ascending and descending. And he gets up and he says, as I quoted to you before, that God is here and I didn't know it. And then what does he do? He takes the rock on which he put his head and he makes it into an altar for God. The very same rock that gave him the dream becomes sacred. In other words, Jacob turned his dreams to holiness. That all his struggles weren't just so Jacob could get along in the world, they were also so that he could rise. So that he could have a relationship to God that would push him and push his soul and make him grow. So that the ladder that he sees will not only be the ladder of the angels, but the ladder of his soul. Why do we say Elohei Yaakov instead of Elohei Yisrael? Because he never became perfect. He was a human being. And sometimes, like all of us, he slid back to Jacob, and sometimes he moved forward to Israel. After all, he struggled with himself. But that ladder represents the image that each individual in his or her life has to contend with and has to climb. It's what Rabbi Alexandri says in the Midrash. When someone says to him, what has God been doing since the end of the creation of the world? He says, God's been making ladders for some to go up and others to go down. Jacob bequeathed us the struggle. Yisrael means struggler with God. And because Jacob's life is a constant grappling with the moral issues of family, of God, of business, of this world, of settling the land, that's why we're the children of Jacob. Because we're not angels, we're people. Because we do have friction in our lives and difficulty, and we can't always figure out the right way to go. Because Jacob's ladder, as was beautifully expressed by the poet Yeats, when he asked where the ladder starts, Jacob's ladder starts, as in Yeats' poem, in the foul rag and bone shop of the heart. His ladder begins in the heart and reaches towards heaven. Because Jacob does know how to love. Jacob does know how to draw people close. He does, at the end of his life, look around and realize that he created a beautiful family and has forged them into a people. It wasn't easy to get there, but he didn't give up, and he didn't run away, and he didn't stop struggling. Why are we the children of Israel? Because too often people will say, why is this happening in my family? Why is this happening in my life? I don't understand it. Things aren't supposed to be this hard, and all they have to do is look at Jacob. Things were always hard, but they were always worthwhile. Jacob is a lesson to all of us that blessings don't mean ease, and faith doesn't mean an absence of struggle. And sometimes we will fall back, and sometimes we will move forward. But we are together, and as individuals, B'nai Yisrael, people who are committed to do what Jacob did, which is to build a ladder to things higher than ourselves, to dream, to seek to make those dreams true, to understand that the God we worship is not the God of perfect people, but the God who stands beside us and urges us to seek and urges us to grow. So remember, the next time things are difficult and you think they're harder than they ought to be, Jacob found them that way too. And from the time he was young to the moment he was old, he found struggle and satisfaction, loss and love. And that's why, since we find all of that too, we are B'nai Yisrael, the children of Jacob, and the people of Israel. Shabbat Shalom.